Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the De'Longhi First Half 2014 Consolidated Results presentation. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask a question. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Fabio De'Longhi, Chief Executive Officer. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the De'Longhi Group First Half Results conference call. I have here with me Mr. Fabrizio Micheli, Mr. Marco Visconti, and Mr. Stefano Biella. As usual, we will kick off the call with a short outlook of the results key highlights, and then we will leave room for a Q&A session. As a first remark, I have to say that we are pleased that despite a challenging environment, the group is continuing to record a positive performance. The first six months of 2014 have been characterized by strong foreign exchange headwinds, as well by increased competition in a few markets. Some of the currency headwinds started to materialize in 2013, like the devaluation of the Australian dollar, of the Russian ruble, and the Japanese yen. Some other currencies deteriorated in 2014, like for instance, Ukraine hryvnia. Let me go through the P&L performance first. Despite all these challenges, the group delivered a sound, profitable growth, increasing revenues by 5.7% in the semester. Revenues reached 700 million euros from 662 million one year ago. Growth at constant exchange rates would have been 10.2%, which gives you a sense of the magnitude of the FX headwinds that we have been dealing with. Importantly, growth was driven by all product categories, not only by food preparation and coffee, but also by home care and comfort. Kitchen machines were particularly strong, together with portable heating and portable air conditioning products, mainly thanks to the Japanese and U.S. markets, as well as irons and Dolce Gusto coffee makers. Also, all the geographic areas contributed positively to growth, despite a few single countries which reported negative growth, like Australia and New Zealand. The group recorded positive growth in all its reference macro regions, even when reported in euros. Northeast Europe grew at 15%, thanks to a strong performance in U.K., Russia, Scandinavia, and Czech Republic. Russia in particular, which as you know, underwent a problematic year in 2013, is on track for a full recovery in 2014. Southwest Europe grew at about 4%, mainly thanks to a positive contribution from Spain, France, and to a lower extent, from Germany and Italy. The APA area, Asia, Pacific, Americas, was characterized by different trends. Overall revenues improved slightly, 0.4%, thanks to the positive contribution of U.S., Japan, Korea, Brazil, which all grew double digits. In some cases, also double digits. However, the positive developments of these markets were counterbalanced by significant business contraction in Australia and New Zealand, more pronounced in the first quarter, due both to the Australian dollar devaluation and to the local market condition. I want also to let you know that we have reported positive growth in July and August in markets in Europe. The Middle East, India, Africa area grew 6%, confirming the region growth potential after very strong growth last year. Looking at the Vrondi integration, which is one of our pillars, is delivering the expected improvements as the turnaround gains traction with a double-digit growth. Now, moving to margins, the net industrial margin was more or less stable at 327 million, but it was down as a percentage of revenues from 49.4% to 46.8%. The group recorded a positive volume and mix effects, which were offset by a negative exchange rate impact worth some 20 million, as well as by a negative price effect due to commercial strategy implemented in few markets to face competition and to a few promotional activities on the low-end products. Below the net industrial margin, a good management of operating costs led to an increase in EBITDA before non-recurring items from 82.8 million to 87.2 million euros. Stable as a percentage of revenues at 12.5%. This result is particularly positive since during the reference period, EBITDA was negatively affected by exchange rates headwinds worth 11.5 million. EBIT in the first half increased to 65.2 million euros from 61.3 million euros in 2013, stable at 9.3% on revenues. Net financial charges increased from 17.4 million to 19.9 million due to higher hedging costs. Net income pertaining to the group reached 33 million, up from 31.7 million in 2013. With regards to balance sheet, the net financial position is negative for 65 million euros, compared to a negative financial position of about 62 million euros as of June 2013, and to a negative 9 million euros as of December 2013. However, excluding non-bank indebtedness worth 56 million euros, the net financial position versus banks is negative by only 9 million euros, showing an improvement of 11 million euros over the last 12 months. I would like to add on as a comment here, since the 12 months cash flow was affected by a few discretionary or extraordinary items, like the dividends paid, about 60 million euros, and the extraordinary industrial investment in China and Romania, about 22 million euros. Excluding these items, the net bank financial position would have been improved by 91 million in the 12 months. The net working capital as a percentage of rolling revenues reached 14.8% versus 14.1%. The increased weight as a percentage of revenues is also due to a change in non-operating payables and receivables. Considering strictly only the trade net working capital, inventories, trade receivables, and trade payables, the weight on rolling revenues improves by 40 basis points from 17.4% to 17% over the last 12 months. To sum up, as conclusion and guidance, what I have discussed so far, I would say that during the first six months of 2014, the group reached a good performance despite some very critical factors, such as increased competition in some markets and very unfavorable exchange rates. I think that given the performance of the first six months, as well as the plans we have for the second half, like new product launches and commercial initiatives, the group is on track to deliver a continued solid performance into the year-end. I finish here and leave room for questions. Thank you.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Andrea Bonfà of Banca Aletti. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon to everybody. I would like to know if it's possible for you to elaborate on what you mentioned in the press release, in particular on the new product launches, a new commercial initiative expected to take place in the second half. And if I may, if it's possible to have the amount of risk provisioning in the first half of this year, which compares with the 10.477 of last year. Thank you very much.
Okay, yes, thank you. With regards to new products, I have to say that probably the main launches are a new kitchen machine under Kenwood brand. Also, we expect a second kitchen machine in the second half, always under Kenwood brand. We are launching, as of now, a new fully automatic coffee maker. We have just launched, and we expect full impact in the second half, a new Nespresso machine in the high end that we call Latissima Pro. So these are probably the main drivers with regards to, let's say, the traditional, the old perimeter. And then also we see some delivery on the, let's say, new developments of Braun, particularly with the hand blender, but also with the full tribute product range. Also, I would like to remind you that we will launch in the second half also Jovia. Jovia is a co-development with Dolce Gusto, with Nestlé Dolce Gusto. It's a very important product. It's a pillar. It's a milestone product because this is the first time that a machine partner develops and manufacture with Nestlé an exclusive product for its range. In terms of initiatives, generally speaking, commercial initiatives, I will remind you, let's say, the new markets. We have recently started new branches. I would remind you that, of course, Scandinavia and Korea are probably the latest new development, and also Mexico, which is really a startup. And we don't expect to deliver results in this year, but can be a driver in the future, probably starting 2015. Second question, if I'm not mistaken, is about provisions. Last year, provisions were in the first half around 6 million, and this year are last year were around 11 million, and this year are around 6 million. And most of the provisions last year, of the difference between 6 and 11, is can be explained for bad debts that we were expecting in the second half of the year due to bankruptcy and some issues with some local distributors. And this year we have a reverse of some of last year reserves because some of were recovered and were less impacting than originally expected.
Thank you very much. If I may, a follow-up question, Jovia. What are the special features of this machine that, let's say, allow you to be excited with and why Nestlé has decided to partner with you on the co-branding and co-launch of this machine? Thank you very much.
Well, in terms of design, is a new design. I think that the volume driver of Dolce Gusto in volumes is a product that has been designed now about 4 years ago. So this is an update. It's a product that has all the traditional, Dolce Gusto features is not very innovative in this perspective, but I think it's very innovative for the business model, because this is the first time that products are manufactured in Europe. We see that we are very competitive in manufacturing cost in Europe, but we can reduce the lead times to market when we manufacture or we outsource, as in the case of Dolce Gusto from China. We have lead times that sometimes are 20 to 30 days. Now, manufacturing our plant in Romania, the lead time, for instance, to deliver to Germany is only one day, let's say, of track. So this would be a new element in the business model. I think also the fact that we are becoming a full, let's say, 360-degree partner to Nestlé is also very important, because our competitors, say, the machine partners, so-called, or the distributors of the Dolce Gusto machine, are outsourcing the products, are buying from suppliers. Now we fully control, let's say, the supply chain, and I think in the long run, this can put us in a competitive advantage to the competition in Dolce Gusto.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Filippo Prini of Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everybody. Three brief questions from my side. The first one, could you give us an update on your expectation of Forex impact on revenue CBDA for 2014? The second, could you give more color about which countries you decided to contract a more aggressive competition, lowering the selling prices? And the last one, the indication is possible, if present, of a securitization effect in the first half of the year. Thank you.
Okay, in terms of exchange rate, obviously it's we don't like to change too often our guidance for the year. Also, we see the volatility on currencies is very high. Well, what we might say today might be not valid anymore, or can be different in, say, 2 weeks' time or even 1 month time. And probably it's different from what we could have told you about 15 days ago or 1 month ago. So having said that, under the new, let's say, exchange rates, we can expect probably a slight deterioration of the impact on exchange rates. So if we were saying that on a yearly basis, the impact would have been between 20 and 25 million euros at EBITDA level, now can be somewhat higher, so probably above 25, I would say, giving a range, maybe 25 to 30 maximum. So, but again, there is for sure a high volatility, and it could even be a bit better than what I'm saying today as a new guidance for exchange rates.
Okay.
The second question was about the most competitive markets. I have to say, for us, for sure, Australia has been a very competitive market, because we have faced the entrance in the market of Breville with the Nespresso capsule system. Also, we see strong competition on Nespresso across Europe, led probably by Germany. Also, some lower prices. Also, competition is very high also in Spain, to give probably a few markets. Also, England, we see some competition, aggressive competition, particularly, I would say, in food preparation, and particularly on food processors. About the third question is about of securitization. So it's fairly aligned with 1 year ago, around 100 million euros. It was 100 million euro in 2013, and is 102 millions in 2014.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Anne Patrice of Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. I have quite a few questions. So to start with, again, follow up on the promotional activity. If you can tell us which categories, in which categories you've seen the most of the negative price impact, and if you expect this to continue also in the second half of this year. Second question on your guidance. Do you reiterate your guidance for high single-digit organic sales growth and also on the EBITDA margin expansion for this year? What is your current view? A third question is the foreign exchange impact on net industrial margin in Q2 2014. You said that it was roughly 20 million for the first half of this year. So the question is how much it was alone in the Q2. And also, interestingly, you said that there was roughly 11 point something million negative impact on EBITDA in the first half. If I remember correctly, it was already 8 million negative impact in the first quarter. So it means that in the second quarter, the impact was less pronounced. So I would also think that in the second half, we should see some declining negative impact. Another question is on Dolce Gusto production. If everything is going, if everything is going according to the plan, I thought that you were going to start, the launch will be in August, September. So maybe if you can update us on when are you going to launch this product. And also on the new product launches, you were talking about Latissima Pro. I thought that it's already, I thought I saw it already in the shops, no? Or when did you launch Latissima Pro? Again, on the product launches, maybe if you can update us on how Braun re-entrance in France and UK is going on. If are you happy with the retail feedback? What are the new initiatives here, if there are any? Another question is on Germany. If I understood correctly, Germany was up only 3% in the first half of the year, while SEB had a very positive comment, and I think they were talking about double-digit growth in German market. So maybe if you can let us know what's going on there. And then the last and final question for the time being is in the newspapers, there were rumors that Procter & Gamble is reviewing its brands portfolio because it wants to focus on the key brands. And the press was speculating if they're going to sell Braun brand for their personal appliances. And then your view, if that might be of interest for you, or if it can affect anyhow your license for the Braun household appliances. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for the question. I will ask to help me with the question, to remind me that one by one the question to Mr. Micheli.
Promotional activities.
Okay. The promotional activities. We expect that the promotional activity will be very, very strong in the second half. Usually, September, October, November, and particularly in December, but again, also in January, some promotions will continue and will be very strong at retail level. We expect the promotions to be very strong, particularly in coffee machines. We expect Dolce Gusto to be very promotional. We expect also Nespresso to be promotional. We expect also Fully Autos in Germany to be very promotional in the second part of the year. This can have an impact on the gross margin, but we think we'll be fairly aligned, expect the margin to be fairly aligned with what they have been already this year. So we expect a further deterioration of margins. But we expect coffee to be very promotional. We expect also ironing to be very promotional, as we see. Also, we want to be more aggressive with Braun. We want to grow in ironing, so we will also be more promotional in ironing systems. In irons, and for food preparation, for sure, maybe a little bit less on kitchen machines, which is probably we see as a less promotional category. We see more promotion maybe in other food preparation, like hand blenders and also food processors. I think that this is probably the result of let's say, low growth rates, generally speaking, in Western Europe, or maybe some, difficult market condition like in Russia, where I think competitors will try to grow market shares. The second question is about guidance on EBITDA. Frankly, we think that we are well on track. I think probably also growth rates have been a little bit higher at, let's say, constant exchange rate than what we were probably originally expecting. But also I have to admit that headwinds in currency have been somewhat higher than originally expected. So as a result, the growth rates are fairly in line with the initial guidance. We expect to continue to deliver growth also in the second half. We expect also positive growth in the third quarter. Obviously, we then have less visibility on quarter four. But again, we think that the market shares are solid, and also we don't see any particular issue now to manage, as we see that Russia is on track after the restructuring. And also, Australia, as said during my presentation, now is not negative anymore in the last 2 months, July and August. So as a consequence, we think that if we deliver on sales according to our consensus, we expect also to EBITDA to be fairly aligned to what was in the consensus. Maybe we should consider that if headwinds in currency can continue, as said, maybe some minor deterioration at this stage, as we were already considering headwinds for 20 to 25 million. If the negative currency will impact 25 to 30 million, maybe there is a risk for a slight further deterioration of EBITDA. But I would say fairly in line with our original consensus. As we said, we have good sales, and also in terms of margins, we are pleased with the margins and the actions we have in place to protect profitability through, let's say, containing our fixed costs. Yeah. You are correct on the comments on the gross margin. We said that the 20 million was the impact on the gross margin in the first half. We expect to have probably a higher impact in absolute value in the last six months, in the second half of the year. We it's also correct that you saw an improvement in the second quarter in EBITDA. The negative impact of currencies in EBITDA in the first half was about quarter one was about 6 million, and quarter two is now 5 million. So it's not, as you said, 8 million in the first quarter, but it's 6 million. But in quarter two now is 5 million, which is slightly better. We have to say that although you see an improvement, we still expect in the second half, due to the higher volumes and also some other, let's say, the higher margins we have in the second half, to have a higher impact. And we expect them to reach for the total year headwinds, as said before, now probably more in the range of 25 to 30. So as a difference, you should probably consider between 14 million negative impact to 19 million in terms of negative impact on EBITDA on the second half. Jovia is now an update, a qualitative update on Jovia. Production is on track. Not only we have started in production in Italy, now production is in Romania. So we are producing now in Romania with a lower cost base. The launch will be in September, and so far the machine has been well accepted. It's a new product. I think the market was asking for some new products from Dolce Gusto. So I think we're very optimistic about the success of this machine. I have to say that for us is a very strategic product. I think that the importance of this is well beyond itself. It's about the relationship. It's about the commercial agreements with Nestlé Dolce Gusto. We hope and we are confident that we probably can continue to design and develop more innovation together with Nestlé Dolce Gusto in the future. Latissima, you are right. I was commenting about the launch. Again, it has been launched in March 2014. But again, we are. I remind you that the promotional activities also for Nespresso are very strong in the fall in quarter four. So we expect really to maximize the potential of this new launch in the second half, although has been already introduced in the market. And we're also happy about the first results in the market. The product is selling very well and is performing in line with expectation. As a result, also the Latissima category is growing in volume for De'Longhi, which is also a positive indication. For Braun, about the new markets, we are introducing in England, reintroducing the brand. We have got some positive listings in England. Also in France, we have some positive signs. So they say the major two new markets for Braun, where P&G Braun was not present with the household range, are today France and England. We are at a startup. We have positive signs. We are already introducing the product. We really expect that the full impact probably to be either in quarter four and also progressively to increase in 2015. Another question was about the comparison with Seb. It is possible that Seb is probably outpacing the market today in Germany. We think that generally our market share are pretty solid in Germany. In coffee, De'Longhi is even growing its quite high market share. In food preparation, we're performing pretty well with both brands now, Kenwood and Braun. So and also Braun in irons is growing its market share. So in that market share, I think we are still growing market share. Probably Seb is outpacing today. I have to say that De'Longhi had such a buoyant growth in Germany over the years that now probably the growth rate is more limited and more aligned to what are the market trends. I remind you that in 2010 years ago, in Germany, the De'Longhi sales were for the totality of the group were probably 15 million euro. Today, Germany is the number one market for the growth with total sales around 200 million euro in 2014. So we expect this year to have some growth, but in the probably low single digit growth. We all read about speculations about P&G selling some non-core companies or brands or product lines. At the moment, we don't have any say information from PG that had intention to dismiss. We had direct contact with them, and we didn't have any information that they want as of today dismiss Brown Shaving. So to me today is purely speculation.
Okay, but regarding the Brown, do you have the first right of refusal, or how does it work with your relationship with PNG and the structure of the deal?
Okay, no, we don't have a first right of refusal. We have a right of, let's say, first offer.
Okay.
So in principle, if there is an intention from PNG to dismiss the business, they should immediately inform De'Longhi and offer to De'Longhi first.
Okay, understood. And maybe just two follow-up questions on the foreign exchange impact and net industrial margin. What was the absolute amount in the second quarter? So for the first half, it was 20 million, and how much was it in the second quarter? And then on the promotional activities and negative price impact, he said that you expected to continue these promotional activities. Do you think it will be more intensified than a year ago? And then how do you think you can protect your gross margin?
Okay, so about the net margin, I don't have here a figure with regard to what is the possible impact on net industrial margin in the second half. So I think that it could be probably closer to 40 million rather than 20 million on net industrial margin. And but again, we have calculated the impact at the EBITDA level, and will be somewhat higher if we expect about let's say 14 to 19 million negative impact of exchange rate at EBITDA level. I would expect a somewhat higher impact at EBITDA, which could be say around 30 to 40 million.
I'm talking not about the second half, but about the second quarter.
Second half.
I was asking about the number for second quarter.
Sorry, I misunderstood your question. Okay, in the second quarter then? The second quarter impact has been about 9 million.
Okay, thank you. And then regarding the protection of the gross margin, how you can support your gross margin, not only in the second half if there is a higher promotional activities, but also more general if, you know, there's a lot of conversations already about the negative pricing pressure on the coffee machines, on espresso machines, etc. So if it continues, how can you sustain your gross margin?
I think that we got already pressure on promotional activities in the first half. I think also comparing to our competitors, we've been better off than our competitors in protecting our profitability, because in the past we have increased prices in advance. So we have room in our say P&L to fund some promotional activities, still protecting our margin. So I would say I expect also to have some help also from volumes, as we expect to continue to grow. This will for sure help in absorbing fixed costs and eventually offset some higher promotional activities. I'm not too concerned about that, as we've been protecting fairly well, even in quarter one and quarter two, where the headwinds in I was far more concerned about the headwinds in exchange rates, and we've been protecting pretty well the margins in the first half. In the second half, of course, we're going to have some promotional activity, which I also expect to deliver higher volumes eventually.
Okay, and would you also expect, again, for the positive product mix in the second half of the year that will support your profitability?
Product mix, well, today we see that the growth is strong looking ahead, July and August were very strong for us in kitchen machines and also in fully auto coffee makers. So I'm pretty confident that we should have a pretty good mix in the second half.
Okay, thank you.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is from Luca Bacoccoli of Banca IMI. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon, everyone. Just two questions from my side. The first one is on the networking capital management, and I was wondering if you expect the networking capital trend to normalize going forward, so on the remainder of this year. And the second one is a follow-up on the EBITDA guidance for this year. You were referring to the consensus figures. Just to avoid misunderstanding, if you can quantify the consensus that you have in mind, because there are several providers, and so the consensus could change from one source to another. Thank you.
Okay, yes, on net working capital, I confirm you that if you look at the strictly operational working capital, numbers are pretty good. Actually, we are still improving about 40 basis points versus 1 year ago.
Mm-hmm.
We expect we hope really to confirm the working capital, ratios as we have improved over the years, the working capital ratio on sales. We think that, the so-called non-operational working capital items, which are fairly negative or impacting negatively on the working capital at June 30, 2014, we expect this to be recovered in the second half.
Okay.
So we think that should, generally speaking, we expect net working capital to normalize progressively in the second half. In terms of EBITDA, the guidance we have today is around 250, I don't know, I can't remember exactly, about 250 million.
Okay.
And we feel pretty comfortable with this guidance. So today I said, if we see that our growth rates are pretty high, are good, we're growing. We also see continuation of growing in July and August. Indeed, we see pressure on the currencies that we said, probably somewhat higher than originally expected due to the late movements of dollar and other currencies. But still, we are fairly optimistic, also considering that we're going to have some competitive pressure and some volumes and promotional activities, but we still think that we are fairly well on track to meet the targets. We have maybe some impact in the currencies.
So just to clarify, you are comfortable with these figures, 254, 255, including the FX headwinds at the EBITDA level?
No. I am confident. I say 255 was what I was comfortable with before the further deterioration of the...
Oh, okay. Thank you. That's what...
what I'm saying also today is also the currency could improve over the next months.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that somehow we can also offset as part of those. The point is we don't want to really change guidelines today as we're performing fairly in line with the original expectations, and we will see what will be the actual impact of currencies in the next quarters, but again, it will not probably an impact more than 5 million euro as said before, if currencies will be in line with the new, exchange rate of today.
Okay, very clear now. Understood. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. For any further questions, please press star and one. The next question is from Alessandro Cecchini of Equita SIM. Please go ahead.
Hello, everybody. I have some questions. The first one is if you can provide a bridge on the profitability in terms of volume, price mix and the Forex at the industrial margin. The second question is if you can explain us the trend in service cost and if this trend is sustainable in the next half. And
we couldn't hear you. Can you rephrase?
In terms of the trend in service cost that you had in the first half, I would like to know if this trend is sustainable. The first half was very good, your cost control on that. And then if you can give us some more color in terms of areas where you had more price pressure, if you can add some color on that. And finally, if you can give us some update in terms of the trading environment in Russia, what are you looking in the market in July, August? Thank you.
Okay, so the first question is about the bridge.
Yes.
Okay, so starting from net margin in first half 2013, the gross margin was at 327 million roughly. We have now in this year an improvement because of volumes, the volume improvement for about 33 million. Then we have negative exchange rates for about 20 million. Then price mix together was a negative for about 6 million, and then other negative impacts for 7 million, going back to about 327 million.
Okay.
Okay, sorry. The second question is about the service costs.
Trend in service costs.
Service costs. About the service costs, we expect the service cost to be in line with last year, in the second half last year. The third question was about price.
Price pressure,
I said. What we see, we see some price pressure in Australia, as we said, it's a very competitive market. We see price pressure in Spain, which has been a very competitive market also in the last months. We see UK for food preparation, particularly less for coffee. We see Dolce Gusto and Nespresso to be still very promotional, and also some more, say, pressure in also Fully Auto in Germany. And these are probably the most competitive markets as of today for us.
Okay.
In Russia, we know that we hear from where the market is probably not brilliant. It is probably in some cases negative, and is particularly negative also in euros. But we are growing our penetration, we are gaining shelf space, we are gaining market shares, and also the trend is very strong for the group as we are winning back positions in the market in the last 2 months. So the deposit trend for the loan group is continuing in Russia also in July and August.
Thank you.
So I don't know if I missed any part of your questions, but I think it's
No, it's okay. Thanks.
For any further questions, please press star and one on your telephone. Mr. De'Longhi, there is a follow-up from Alessandro Cecchini of Equita SIM. Please go ahead.
Sorry, just a final question on the financial cost. If you can split for us among Forex, hedging cost, financial interest, and cash discounts to have a more clear idea on the financial cost for the first half.
Yes, okay. So in the first half, comparing with the first half 2013, bank financial charges were 5.9 million versus 5.7 in the first half 2013. Then losses on exchange rates and the cost of hedging went up from 4.1 million 1 year ago to 6.1 million this year. Other financial charges are up from last year from 7.9 million to 8.4 million. Here are included also the financial discounts, which are fairly aligned. Last year were 6.2 million, and this year are 6.3 million euros. As a total, the financial charges went up from 17.4 to 19.9 this year.
Okay.
But in the quarter, in the single quarter, we have some improvements versus 1 year ago. So the total financial charges were in 2013 9.5, in the second quarter 2014 are 8.3 million.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. De'Longhi, gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay, so thank you for attending the De'Longhi conference call. Good evening.